Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Bill O'Brien was asked a lot of questions up in Indianapolis about the Combine. Most of them were about the quarterback position. The first nine questions were all about the quarterback position. Five of those nine referenced Christian Hackenberg.
I understand him getting asked about Hackenberg a lot because the thing is, if the Texans don't take this guy, knowing that you need a quarterback, who's going to want you?
I don't know.
I know you saw the Tennessee story. A former player claimed that Butch Jones called him a traitor for helping a rape victim, a woman who had been sexually assaulted by two teammates. That when he told Jones about what his teammates did to him, he was called out by the coach for supposedly betraying them. These coaches get in these bubbles, and that's all they care about is winning. But if that's true, that's pretty bad. That's bull stuff.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 97. Nope. Got it. There's one. We got to go over four. It's at, I can't believe he did this to me.
At Jungle Fever.
At Jungle Fever. Damn it. All right, so that's one. I set the over-under at four, at Jungle Fever.
You've been surprisingly on point, although I don't know if you've said it since then.
No, I did. I said at 5 o'clock. I got it right.
Okay.
I was thinking about it then. Okay, and add Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. Been a fun first couple hours, and if you missed any of it, including some of the things you heard there, all available at podcastarena.com. A couple things. I guess Matthew's already over there for the poker, and if you want to play tonight, head on over to Dave & Buster's on Richmond now. And this is your last chance to qualify. And I will be over there probably about 7:15 or so. But that's when it starts. You need to be there by 6:45, even if you want a spot, and make sure you're signed up. But if you didn't win a spot, the sooner you can get out there, the better. But Matthew says, a couple guys at the bar next to me are looking up the rules to poker. Should be a fun night.
Oh, boy.
I'll never forget a cash game I played with a guy who came in, lawyer. It was a 1-2 game at a friend of mine's place, and I was having a pretty good night. I started with a couple hundred. I'm up to about six. This guy walks in, drops $500 on the table, and he's there with this really hot girl who knows how to play a little bit, and he's got one of those cards that tells you what hand beats what.
Oh no.
And I mean, it was so funny because every single one of us were just shark attack.
Yeah.
We're gonna eat this guy alive. And you know,
is it a flush if I've got all of one color, or do they have to be all hearts or all diamonds? I mean, I've got a mixed bag here. I just want to know what to bet.
It was pretty funny because I think there were two or three times where I took really big hands off him, and each time I'm kind of like, oh yeah, you played that really well. I just got lucky. You know, keep going. Get back in your pocket. Keep playing, please. Those are just that's like the dream scenario. Getting back to the Alabama thing, Lamont says, I feel what Fred is saying, but at what position can we not knock a Bama player because the whole team is great? That's fair too, but I'm talking about specifically the system for running backs, just like I would say the same thing about
Wisconsin. There are no offensive lines in college football that you can compare to Alabama's. Alabama consistently has the best offensive lines in football.
They may not necessarily make the best pros.
Right.
But that combination of five guys and really eight or nine guys deep,
yeah,
is as good as anybody's.
And I think that's where the difference is made, because they've got guys that can go deeper.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying that I don't think the guy has a chance to be good. It's just I am going to downgrade his numbers from college for that very reason. And plus,
listen, I think he'll be a good NFL running back.
I don't think he's.
Ezekiel Elliott is the one running back in this draft I would use a second round pick on.
Agreed. And he's going to go in the first round probably.
Yeah.
But again, I think we just have a different approach to running backs. And unless it's Todd Gurley last year, and like I said, barring injury, Leonard Fournette next year, I'm not looking at a running back in the first round. It's just, it's not a position that you need to do that with. if I get Kenneth Dixon in the third round, I'll take him over all those guys and be happy with it.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And I've got – I think I want to do a little college football if we can.
Okay.
Because somebody sent me this list, and I've been wanting to get to it for a few days, and we haven't. But just to get you going on next year's – I'll get you thinking a little college football here. You think about these kids at the combine. They got the 15 best coaches in college football.
Okay.
And I'm going to give them to you. You tell me belongs in the top 15, doesn't belong in the top 15.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, Tom Herman is not on this list. He only had 1 year.
I wouldn't put him in that on that list yet.
But if he does it again next year.
Yeah, that's a different conversation. But the guy's coached 1 year. He had a great year. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a good coach, but I'm not putting him there yet.
You know what? As a head coach and as an offensive coordinator, you know how many games he's lost in 3 years?
How many?
Two.
Okay.
And
is an offensive coordinator under?
Yeah. How'd that offense look without him this year, by the way?
Without
Tom Herman.
I mean, it didn't look as good.
Okay.
They're still a pretty good squad, though.
No, they are, but I mean,
how many games has Urban Meyer lost since he's been at Ohio State?
Well, they both lost one that year, but he lost more this year. Point is, I mean, the guy had something to do with their success on offense.
I don't disagree at all.
You could see the difference when he wasn't there.
But, I mean, being a head coach, there's a lot involved in that.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. I think in 1 year, it's hard to say that guy is there yet.
Well, I'd put him over a couple people on this list. Number 15, Brian Kelly. I think it's about right. He got him to a national championship game, and they're usually...
He wouldn't be on my list, but that's okay.
Chris Peterson, 14.
I think Chris Peterson's that's not a bad spot. I think he's got a lot to prove in Washington, but I don't think that's bad.
Gus Malzahn, 13.
I think that's fair. I think he's probably the best, young... I say young, best 40-something coach in the SEC. Had an off year a little while ago, or I guess last year or year before last, but I'm okay with that.
Bill Snyder, 12.
That's too high for me.
Yeah.
When you look at guys who, what they do with the situation they're in.
I mean, he coaches up a bunch of mediocre players into a slightly better than mediocre team most years.
He's great for that school, but 12, no thanks.
I mean,
if you're an SEC school or, I mean, you're a Power 5 school, period, and you're not called Kansas State, would you rather have him or Gus Malzahn?
Gus Malzahn.
Of course.
Number 11, Les Miles.
Boy, that might be low.
That's low for me. And I know it's the whole thing about him being fired and everything is a bit much, but 11 seasons. 112-32, 61-27 in the SEC. Two national title appearances, one national title.
Man, that means you're going to name, because I think the list of active coaches with national championships at this point is down to like four or five.
Yeah, so there's a lot of guys that haven't won they have ahead of him, and I disagree with a lot of them. Number 10, David Shaw.
David Shaw is a good coach. I wouldn't put him ahead of Les Miles.
I wouldn't either. Gary Patterson, number 9.
No.
He doesn't belong ahead of Les Miles.
No.
Art Briles, number 8.
No.
None of those guys belong ahead of Les Miles. Jimbo Fisher, number 7.
Jimbo Fisher, another guy with some skins on the wall. He's not my favorite, but I respect what he's done there.
Yeah, and he has turned that program into a perennial powerhouse, so that seems about right. Bob Stoops, 6.
Boy, I'd like to hear the five ahead of him, but there's not many with more accomplishments than him. I mean, when I talk about that, I really think Stoops, Jimbo Fisher, Les Miles, Nick Saban, and Urban Meyer. Is there another active head coach that has a national championship?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Maybe I'm wrong. Don't hold me to that, but I'm pretty sure that we're down to five.
We are down to five. Here's our top five, but you're right. Jim Harbaugh, 5th.
I don't have a problem with that. It might be too low, but again, 1 year in this system, I'd like to see a little more. But even just given what he did, what he turned Stanford into, what he took Stanford as and what he turned it into.
Yeah, and then getting a team to a Super Bowl in the NFL.
Yeah, I think if I had my druthers, there are maybe two coaches in college football I would take over him.
I agree. I think same too.
And if they're not number one and two, this list is
No, they are. It's four and three are really what's left. Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State, number four.
I think he's really good. I when you consider he's won, he wins 11 games a year at Michigan State.
Yeah,
that's impressive to me.
Dabo Swinney, three.
That's too high.
I think that's too high based on really one season.
Yeah,
where they were very good.
Yeah, that's way too high.
And then it's Meyer and Saban.
Which... Dabo Swinney is now a better coach than Bob Stoops or Jim Harbaugh or Les Miles.
That's off of one national title appearance. Well, it bothers me that Patterson and Briles are 8 and 9 on this list, and Les Miles is 11. That's just silly.
That's ridiculous. Who made that list?
It was. I have to go look it up again. I think it was USA Today. Anyway. I just thought it'd irritate you. I always like riling you up with stuff like that. Okay, very quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. You know, this... I didn't really talk to the NBA today, but this Durant... Golden State talk that has been floated around here for the past couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Curious your thoughts on this. Zach Lowe of ESPN.com reports, shocker, some members of the Golden State front office are concerned about giving up bench depth and taking on a massive contract, which is something I think you mentioned a couple weeks ago. Lowe says most of the 24 or so team executives I polled over the past 2 weeks on the Durant Warriors possibility described it as a no-brainer. But there is some division within the Warriors, and you can understand why. They might have the best basketball team ever assembled. How do you shake that up?
You don't.
I
don't understand. I mean, I can't make it any clearer. You don't.
Signing Durant would carry risk, especially with Festus Ezeli's future unclear after another knee surgery. Signing Durant with cap room would cost Golden State Harrison Barnes and at least two of Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Andre Bogut, and Ezeli. They'd have to offload two of those guys into someone else's cap space. And they're privately worried they might have to attach one or even two future first-round picks to grease the wheels.
And you notice the names that they're mentioning that they would lose, Andrew Bogut, Andre Iguodala. These are guys, defensive guys. And that's what keeps them from being, you know, the mid-2000s Phoenix Suns or the late 90s Sacramento Kings. I mean, this is a good defensive team. You know, you don't want to. You've already got enough on that end, and I don't think you need that.
Well, and let's not forget he's coming off a major foot injury, and he's healthy now. But boy, you take away. Why would you mess with a team that is on a pace better than anything we've ever seen?
They're
51-5. Why would you say? Yeah, you know what? It sounds like a great idea to go out and add another great player. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be better. But I don't know. I mean, it depends on what that cap goes up to. If it's really ridiculous, you might be able to afford to do it without getting rid of those guys. But I don't know, man. I think it's an interesting question. But I also think that it makes sense for there to be some division within the team about that.
Right. If I'm on that team, I don't want to break it up.
No. Especially when you got guys that'll probably take a little less money just to stay there. Speaking of the Warriors, this was probably the biggest no bleep headline I've seen in a while. I love pulling these headlines out that either are misleading or just one where you go, okay, I don't need to read the story.
Yeah.
Here's one. Kobe Bryant. Stephen Curry is NBA's toughest player to guard.
I mean, I think you can make an argument for LeBron James.
You could, but right now?
Right now, well, especially, it's probably Steph Curry.
Well, yeah. And especially the kind of player Kobe is, for him to try to guard Steph Curry is crazy. But I think he's the toughest player to guard in the NBA for anybody right now.
Yeah.
Even more so than LeBron.
I think so.
Just kind of struck me as a no-bleep headline. That's all. 713-780-ESPN. Getting a lot of poker questions. Yes, you could still get out there and sign up, but you have to get you need to get there probably in the next 20 minutes to make sure you get a spot. 409 asks, since when is allowing 103 points per game considered having a good defense?
Well, when you pay at the pace that they play at, I mean, yeah. They have good defenders on that team. So there are more shots taken in a Golden State game than any other team's games. So there are more possessions per game. So relatively, yeah, they are a good defensive team.
Well, they're a sensational offensive team that plays better than average defense.
Yeah.
At times, really good defense. And that's why they're kicking the crap out of people.
And they don't have guys on that team who don't play defense. I know everybody thinks Steph Curry's a one-dimensional player. Steph Curry's a pretty good defender. Klay Thompson is an outstanding and completely underrated defender. You know, I've talked about what Andrew Bogut provides to that team. I think that there are that team is underrated defensively.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about underrated, but I do think Curry doesn't get enough credit, because one of the things we were talking about earlier, you know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about James Harden and why his defense was pretty good last year. You look at Steph Curry, his steal numbers and everything are right there with Harden's last year, and they're right there again this year, and Harden's aren't. That's one of the big differences. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And we talk a lot about when media guys get out of line on the show sometimes. See that Adam Schefter and ESPN are getting sued over.
Yeah, we talked about this. And yeah. I said, man, I can't imagine Adam Schefter would put that out without permission. But, you know, maybe he did. If he did, I'm surprised. And hell, he should be in some trouble.
Yeah. And the thing is, I'm just going to respond to something, but I want to. I respect Adam Schefter. I really do. If he reports something, I tend to trust it. This isn't Chris Mortensen. It's not Chris Broussard.
Right.
And this is a guy that is pretty damn reliable. But there have been a couple of instances, and I don't know if it's just getting caught up in all the, you know, everybody trying to break everything. But I think that was crossing the line, and now he's being sued for it. And I think for him to repeat the rumors of the Dez Bryant video was also out of line. And those two things I find beneath what I expect from him.
Right.
And it doesn't mean everybody's going to, like, we all make mistakes. We all do things that we shouldn't, but that's a guy that in his position, I trust on a lot of things. But Pierre Paul's attorney called Schefter selfish in sharing a photo. They're seeking $15,000 in damages, which really doesn't mean anything to Jason Pierre Paul. So I'm sure this is just to kind of, this is more to get that topic out there. But, you know, that's the thing. With Schefter, you didn't need to post that chart. We would have believed him if he said that. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty much trustworthy. And he admitted that he kind of maybe had messed up. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 409 says, I respectfully disagree, getting back to the basketball conversation. Because the Rockets were about the same category last year, and every analyst ripped them for it. To be fair, I don't really care what analysts say. I don't pay too much attention to them.
I'm paying attention to what I see with my eyeballs.
Yeah, they played.
Let's see, one team that consistently gives effort and one team that doesn't.
No, we're talking about last year's Rockets.
Oh,
because
okay.
They had pretty much the same numbers in terms of points per game.
Well, again, that goes back to the Rockets' effort last year was considerably better than
yes,
it is this year.
It was. And, you know, I don't care what analysts say. I mean, most of them are, I mean, the ones that I trust, yeah, I'll listen to, but a lot of them are just out there trying to get attention, which is going to lead me something that Lamont just tweeted about when we come back.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Dirt Free. Listen, you don't want to replace your carpets for many reasons, but one, it's ridiculously expensive to do so. It's not a cheap process. It takes a long time to get that done. You have to deal with the actual picking out the carpets. You got to put in the new carpets. Well, rip out the old carpets first, put in the new carpets. It's a huge inconvenience. Now you can keep your old carpets looking new no matter how long you've had them. Dirt Free extends the life of your carpets so you can go longer without replacing it. I've used Dirt Free for a long time in my homes. They do fantastic work, and now they're working statewide. You can get your stuff cleaned wherever you are in the state. They use soap. They don't use soaps. They don't use chemicals, which can damage your carpet fibers like a lot of the other guys do and, you know, shorten the lifespan of it. They've got a non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water and truck-powered equipment, and this technology is what really sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they do not come back. They can do any surface, carpet, tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble. They'll do the interior of your car if that's what you want. Sunday service is now available. Start the new year off with a brand new look and feel of clean carpets. They've got a great deal for you right now. Three rooms for just $99.95 with a free speed dry to the first 25 callers that mention my name. Call 281-347-8373. That's 281-347-8373. Or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Clean.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Couple things. Soccer Bilal says Schefter is protected as a media figure. However, those that release the records violated HIPAA. Schefter is getting the max penalty for spreading the medical record. There's limited protection when we're talking civil lawsuits here.
Yeah.
He's protected in terms of, you know, he doesn't have to tell anybody his source. But in this case, if he crossed a line, he should get sued. Now, Jason Pierre-Paul is going to have to I have been involved in a few of these legal cases with media stuff where things have come out, and we won a few and we lost a few. But this is one where, you know, you're going to have to prove that it did some damage to him, which I don't think it really did. But if they can prove at some point that it had something to do with him not, you know, with the franchise tag and things like that, maybe. And that's kind of what Lamont was saying, is JPP is going after Schefter, which I understand, but the hospital should be a huge target. Yeah, unless, you know, somebody snuck into his room and took a picture.
Yeah.
And in which case, now you're getting into a completely different area, and that's, you know, that's too much. He also said a year ago, if someone said Trump is close to being a president, Kubiak wins a Super Bowl, which would you laugh at? Well, I would have laughed at both.
I would have, too.
I would have told you, get out of here on both cases. But I do have a theory on Trump that I kind of want to share. And it's a media theory. It's not a political theory.
Okay.
But why don't we like politicians in general?
Why do we?
Why don't we?
Oh, because they are scummy.
They lie.
Yeah.
They make no bones about how they lie. They all get hot button topics that are the same topics for 30 years that they're trying to turn into something that should be important. And the reality is, you know, those things have been decided a long time ago. Liberals keep wanting to bring up gun laws. Conservatives keep bringing up abortion. I mean, it's the same hot button topics all the time, right? It's another reason why we don't like them. It's like when we actually have issues that are important to us that we should be focusing on. Well, I think it's very similar to what you see in the media. I mean, these guys get by with – I think Trump has become the Skip Bayless, the guy screaming the loudest. He's just taking what they're doing and doing it louder and basically just saying, all right, if you guys are going to lie, I'm going to take it to the next level. I'm going to troll the hell out of you.
The problem is I don't know if Donald Trump's really doing a lot of lying. I think he's being so egregiously honest that it's terrifying.
Well, in some things, he's also, if you go to PolitiFact, he's made up some crap too, just the rest of them. But he just doesn't care. And my point is that he's basically taking what has become standard practice now. Fox News does it. ESPN does it. The guys that are out there screaming the loudest are the ones getting the most attention. And it's working because people are like, you know what? They do think he's honest because they have heard all these liars for all these years and they're sick of him.
He got a big endorsement today. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yep. David Duke. Are you familiar with Mr. Duke?
I am. Yes, I'm familiar with him.
David Duke, if you don't know, is the former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. He got on a microphone today and said that if you vote for anyone besides Donald Trump, it's really treason to your heritage.
Wait a minute. Whose heritage is like
this? He's talking to white people.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure because I'm
only like, whites. Only all right, whites. All right.
Well,
that's
okay. I just want to make sure. So the white half of me should pay attention.
Yes.
Okay.
If the white half of you is the voting half and you don't vote for Trump, you might as well just abandon that half. He says, I'm not saying I endorse everything about Trump. In fact, I haven't formally endorsed him yet. But I do support his candidacy, and I support voting for him as a strategic action. I hope he does everything we hope he will do. And I'm telling you, it's your job to get active. Get off your duff. Get off your rear end that's getting fatter and fatter for many of you every day and on your chairs. When this show's over, go out. Call the Republican Party, but call Donald Trump's headquarters. Volunteer. They're screaming for volunteers. Go in there. You're going to meet people who are going to have the same kind of mindset that you have. He's made it okay to talk about these incredible concerns of European Americans today because I think European Americans know they are the only group that can't defend their own essential interests and their point of view. He's meant a lot for the human rights of European Americans.
Okay, so
also, European Americans, for those of you unfamiliar with the lingo, translates to white people.
Well, I just have a question because isn't Spain in Europe?
That doesn't count. Spain doesn't count.
What about Portugal?
That doesn't count.
Italy?
Doesn't count. He means like where there's white people.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Mostly like German.
If
you're picking up what I'm putting down.
So German and like reportedly really small micro penis?
European Americans means blonde haired, blue eyes, white Christian. Americans.
Okay.
Right. If you're not one of those, though, I mean, vote for, you're probably voting for Hillary or Bernie anyway. David Duke doesn't care what you do with your stupid vote, your stupid non-European American vote.
European American. You've got to narrow it down because I'm sure the Spaniards are a little offended.
No, I don't think they care. I was watching that Hunting Hitler.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that Spain was kind of like an unspoken ally to the Nazis during World War II. Like, they weren't officially in the war, but they did everything they could to help Hitler without being in the war. I had no idea that was the case. History lied to me all these years.
I have to admit, I find a lot of the stuff that I read in our books in school growing up and probably long before yours, now that we have the internet and you start actually, you know, doing deeper research and some of the things that you thought were true.
Yeah.
You realize that, boy, we sure slanted some of those textbooks, especially when it comes to Native Americans in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, some of the stuff that they taught us. And then you go and you get older, you start finding, you know, reading books and doing more research, and you realize, oh, wait a minute, that's not what they taught us. But, History Channel's a great thing for stuff, man. You know, that's a cool thing about our society now. There's actual educational TV that, you know, you can learn stuff like that from. Now, most of the time, I'm watching stuff about mobsters. I love the mobster series.
Going back to a couple segments ago, Patrick said on Facebook, which I randomly looked at the Facebook page today because it said it popped up a notification for me, which I hate.
Did you get rid of the notification?
No, I need to.
Okay.
It says Gary Patterson's 143-47 in 15 years at TCU, which, by the way, only four of those were in Power 5 conferences, and he was 34-17 in those. Top seven finishes in five of the last 8 years, including a 2 and a 3. And he does this with lower-ranked recruits because he knows how to identify guys that fit his system and coach them up. He's elite, absolutely top 15 nationally. And I don't have a problem with top 15.
No, and I hope that that's – I didn't mean to imply that he shouldn't be top 15.
Well, he ain't Les Miles.
No, and I don't think – you know, I'll be honest, I might have him ahead of Dabo Swinney still.
I might too.
Hey.
Although I hate when people say,
but,
well, look what he does with the talent that he gets. Remember in college football – getting good talent is part of your job as a head coach. So if you're not getting the same talent that some of these other coaches are getting, that's on you. Be a better coach. Get better talent. Recruiting is a very important part of being a college coach.
Yeah, I agree. I think we tend to get, he coaches them up, and it's little guy versus big guy. Well, you're not little guy anymore, and you haven't been for a few years. You know, and if you want to say, well, you can't recruit the same kind of kids as you can at Texas, well, then that's on you. But I think the guy's a really good coach. I probably have him at the bottom of the top 10 or the top of the top 15. But, I don't know about the I just don't think he should be ahead of Les Miles. And I'm not sure he should be ahead of Brian Kelly, who got his team to a national championship and also had a lot of success before he went to Notre Dame. I'm not sure I'd have him ahead of Gus Malzahn. I would certainly have him ahead of Bill Snyder. And frankly, I think I'd have him ahead of Art Briles.
I would too.
And I'd probably have him ahead of Dabo Swinney, but there's nobody else on this list that there's no way Saban, Meyer, D'Antonio, I think I'd rather have Harbaugh. If you're asking me, you can pick any one of these coaches. Stoops, Fisher, David Shaw. That's where it kind of gets iffy for me. So I could see him being 9, 10, 11, 12. All right, quick break. We have one segment left, and then I'm going to head over to Dave and Buster's and get ready to play some poker with you guys. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Let's leave a mark. Light shines brighter in the dark.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And if you want, if you're not on Twitter or Facebook and you want to know how you can help us with the Terry Fox run and raise money for cancer research, just email me, fower975@gmail.com. We need about a little under 400 more bucks for me to do my thing Saturday night at the track. So we should be able to get that. You can donate as little as 10 bucks. It's very easy.
I'm getting – Adam says, completely false about Spain. Spain more so supported the U.S., Britain, and France. Look up Operation Mincemeat. I'm telling you what the History Channel taught me, and Francisco Franco was like buddies with Mussolini and Hitler. Like, they vacationed together. So, I'm not a history genius, but there's a lot of stuff that points at the possibility that they were helping out. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's do Hoppin' on Hollywood.
All right, let's start with our girl Yoko Ono, who is what would you say is she's best known for?
Breaking up the Beatles.
Okay, well, Yoko Ono says...
Fair or not, that's what she's known for.
That's what she's known for.
Right.
And, John, what about you? When you think of Yoko Ono, what comes to mind?
Breaking up the Beatles.
Okay.
And why couldn't John Lennon pull better looking than that? Isn't that just frustrating?
It's very strange.
Yeah.
I feel like he had... there was some sort of spell cast.
Magic V, man. Magic V.
Or something. I don't know what it was. Yoko Ono... She wants to set the record straight on her involvement with the Beatles breakup, once and for all. In an interview with U.S. Weekly, she revealed 25 interesting facts about herself that fans might not know. And by the way, are there Yoko Ono fans?
I don't think so, and I don't think there's 25 things about her that would be interesting.
I don't either. She's 83 years old now, and
that's not interesting.
As far as I'm concerned, December 8th, 1980 is when Yoko Ono stopped being relevant.
Right.
But one addressed reports that her relationship with John Lennon caused a strain on the Beatles, shutting down the rumor that she was part of the reason they broke up in 1970. She says, I had nothing to do with breaking up the Beatles, and I think Paul McCartney's a pretty cool dude.
And he's still alive.
I'm going to go ahead and go BS.
Yeah.
She also shared things about her life, saying that the secret to eternal youth is to take an ice-cold bath once a day, and that she has never slept more than 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you're curious about Yoko, just kidding, you're not.
No, you're not curious.
I just wanted to let you know that she is trying to say that she didn't break up the Beatles, which is...
Bull stuff.
Clearly a farce. Obviously, Deadpool is having a lot of success. It was online today, or on track today, to surpass the Passion of the Christ as the highest grossing R-rated film of all time, which is pretty unbelievable.
It's a better story.
Just
kidding. Don't start religious picketing, for God's sake.
So, other superhero movies seem to be taking note. And I don't know if you remember, have you ever seen Watchmen?
Yeah.
Did you see the director's cut?
Yes.
Well, it turns out that Zack Snyder has plans for Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. The Blu-ray release will have a rated R version. Basically, they're going to have more violence. He said, it's not a bad thing. I wouldn't mind betting that this version of the movie will be packed full of extra scenes featuring the Dark Knight brutally doling out justice to Gotham City criminals. Of course, there's every chance that the battle between the heroes will get even more vicious than the version we'll see in the upcoming theatrical release.
I think they're missing the point on why this was popular. Nothing to do with the violence. Everything to do with the
right
sex scenes, with the language, with the sense of humor.
But, I mean, R-rated is R-rated.
It is, but then
wouldn't you like to see? Wouldn't you have liked to see, like, in The Dark Knight, there'd be, like, some really gruesome scenes, like of Bruce Wayne really getting his back broken?
No.
I would have loved it.
To me, they're never going to outdo Game of Thrones for gruesome, so just do your stuff. But be funny, and the reason Deadpool's doing as well as is not just because of the R rating. It's because they went back to what the comic books are supposed to be about, what we all fell in love with, which is being a smartass and talking to the audience and, you know, being funny. That's what made him great. Just me.
There was a time, last story, there was a time when Conor McGregor said he would whoop Jesus Christ's ass. Well, a TMZ photographer came out of the Nate Diaz Conor McGregor press conference yesterday, and he asked the champ about the cholo comment that he fired at Nate, and he basically he got a little upset about it. He said for the record, Connolly not only went on Jesus at the time, but later said he and JC were cool because gods recognize gods. And McGregor unloaded on the TMZ guy over the Jesus question he asked back in December. So McGregor remembered this dude and was like, dude, you're the one who got that Jesus quote out of me. So then it just yelled at him about that in the middle of the street. So, and by the way, if you still haven't seen this, you need to go see that press conference for me.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's about as good as it gets. All right, and that's your Hopping on Hollywood for the week.
See, I don't think you could beat Jesus because... I'm not going to do this. I'm not.
Good call.
Not with the beautiful words of John Lennon playing that wonderful song behind me. I'm not going to make Jesus jokes. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Got the HD show coming up next. I'm about to head over to Dave and Buster's. See you guys over there about 7:10 or so, 7:15. Great job today by Jong Lee. Great job today by AJ Hoffman. Really, really great job by you guys coming up with camel names and everything else. Give myself a solid D+ today. All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.